This is the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminem. Next up on our Fix 18 content, we have an excellent talk from OBGYN Dr. Jane Van Dis called The Panic Button, Using Data to Create Equity. Dr. Van Dis is an OB hospitalist in California. She's also the medical director of Maven, a telemedicine platform for women. She's advisor to Flex, which produces a menstrual disc. She's co-founder of Equity Quotient and a founding member of Times Up Healthcare. She knows this data well, and she's going to get into it for you on this Fix 18 talk. Enjoy.
So I am the CEO and co-founder with Dr. Esther Chu of Equity Quotient. We are a company that gathers data analytics to measure gender equity in the physician workplace. And I'm going to be talking about money, so these two things go together. This is my only funny slide that I'm putting it in. It's my new favorite, and it's the shit hitting the fan. Which is what I hope happens in the name of gender equity. So my objectives with this are to discuss the cost of gender inequity in the physician workplace, the cost of sexual harassment to the physician workplace, and how we fix the equity equation. So what is equity? Equity is a lot of things. There's a lot of meaningful definitions, but today I'm just talking about money. So I'm talking about pay, I'm talking about promotion, I'm talking about the culture of medicine in our departments, and I'm talking about wealth, something that women don't talk frequently enough about. For those of you that have heard, Dr. Cass Chu and I podcasted, it's on the Feminem website, with the health economist from Berkeley about the Doximity 2017 pay gap data. It's a great podcast. I urge you all to listen if you haven't already. But what we need to know about that is that the pay gap increased in 2017, and that on average it's $105,000. There's no specialty where female doctors make more than their male colleagues. Female doctors make less than men in all 50 top metro areas. And my favorite statistic, which isn't part of the Doximity, but I wanted to throw it in here, and that's the number that you can always throw out when you're in the doctor's lounge, when you're in a chat room, when you're talking to someone about, well, women, you know, they have families, they take medical leaves, they, Dr. Teague, don't work as hard. The most important number to give them back when they say that is that the gap before the first attending job ever happened. So this is the gap coming out of residency before anyone has done anything, the front doors of your first workplace have not opened, and that gap is $16,000, okay? Thanks. All right, a little bit about promotion. Women are 34% of the physician workplace. You guys probably all know that. You probably all know a lot of these other statistics, so I'm not gonna spend much time on this slide. But 7% of journal editors stuck out to me as well. So I highlighted that. Sexual harassment in the workplace, because I'm going to talk about the costs of that. We need to know that 52% of academic faculty have reported sexual harassment. As we heard earlier today from the NASEM report, 50% of medical students report sexual harassment in medical school, and 30% of female NIH-funded researchers report harassment as well. I wanted to give you some data from the corporate world, because it matches ours. 45% of women in a Business Insider survey reported sexual harassment. That number was 58% in companies where there was greater male hierarchy. Sexual harassment forces women out of their career attainment. 50% of formal claims do not result in charges. The backlash for sexual harassment is retaliation, intimidation, lawsuits, and the loss of your career plans, and the burden of finding witnesses to support your allegations. If you want to file an allegation with the EEOC, you must do so within 180 days, and then you have to wait 90 days after that to start civil procedure. The wait time for review of an EEOC claim is on average 295 days. A lot of you in emergency medicine are with big medical groups. That means that you oftentimes are forced to sign arbitration agreements, and also non-disclosure agreements if a settlement is reached. In 2017, the cost of sexual harassment to the workplace of the top 500 Fortune 500 companies was $14 million. What are the costs of sexual harassment to the woman who undergoes it? Decline in productivity, sick leave, increased medical costs, financial costs, oftentimes related to concerns about student debt, mortgage debt, loss of ability to obtain disability insurance, life insurance, that's something you don't think about, early retirement, and unfortunately even suicide. Thankfully, we have new data out from that JAMA article 3 weeks ago showing the cost of sexual harassment on women's health, but we know it affects depression, anxiety, sleep, heart health, and even suicide. Of course, interpersonal relationships suffer as well. And I'm going to skip my other two funny slides to go straight to more data. So I wanted to give you this visual representation of what the wealth gap looks like, because I think that women sometimes undersell themselves when it comes to pay gap. It's good to think about how much that pay gap looks like at the end of your career. So a $20,000 pay gap at 4% interest over 30 years is $1.17 million. $120,000 pay gap, which is not that far off for some of the surgical subspecialties, $120,000 gap. $120,000, a little bit higher interest rate, 6%, because you know those people are getting some good into some good index funds. Over 30 years, you're looking at $7.3 million. What is the wealth gap? Well, the wealth gap is your pay gap plus time. And why is the wealth gap important? Well, it's important because you need those resources. You might need them for an emergency fund at any time in your career, but you're also going to need them to put your kids through college, and you're also going to need them for your retirement, and it's also going to determine when you get to retire. Always important to remember that your Social Security benefit, which may or may not be there, is also based on your wage. So if your wage is lower, your Social Security benefit is going to be lower at 65 too. The number one source of wealth in America is housing equity. The number two source is business equity. And this is where women fall down, because they tend not to start businesses and they tend not to invest in businesses. So we could do a lot better with that type of equity. So what are some of the barriers to obtaining wealth equity? Our savings. Women tend to save less. They also tend to have more debt. They have more mortgage debt, more vehicle debt, more student loan debt. They also are oftentimes primary caregivers, and so that caregiving gap plus their pay gap factors into their wealth gap. How do we fix it? Well, we've got some good solutions for family leave and helping out with that caregiving gap, but we're going to talk about some of the other solutions for equity as well. All right, so this is my creation. I don't know where Dr. Chu is, but is she up there? Oh, when Brooke Baldwin asked Dr. Chu on CNN, I see your company has calculated the cost of gender inequity in the healthcare workplace. This was the number that Brooke Baldwin was referring to. So what I did there, and it looks like I don't know, that got off, but I'll tell you what it means. So what I did was I took the fact that healthcare spends $4 billion a year on burnout, and then I multiplied it by 34% of the physician workforce. And then I said that I thought that possibly a quarter, it could be more, it could be less, of women physicians' burnout is or could be attributed to gender inequity and sexual harassment in the workplace. And so that number is $1,000 per year. Then I looked at the cost of attrition. So attrition is the average physician salary times the average attrition rate, which is 6%. And then again, I took a lower number. I took 2% of 6% as attributable to workplace culture, and I came up with $7,000 a year. So that is the cost for healthcare organizations of hiring someone to replace women who leave the workplace because it's inhospitable. And then the last dollar amount is $1,000. I apologize, that carried over. And that's probably the fuzziest data point, because I couldn't find good sexual harassment cost data specifically for healthcare organizations, but let's put it at 1,000. The average payout is around $150,000 per person. So that totals $9,000 per physician or per woman physician per year for gender inequity. So how do we solve this? Well, I told you I was going to talk about math and money. We solve it with data, data, and more data. Nobody's going to change their pay gap. Nobody's going to change their culture based on a moral imperative. If that was going to happen, it would have happened a long time ago. So the more data we have, as Ali spoke, we talked about salary transparency. That's a very good first step. There's my salary transparency slide. So when we talk about what institutions make and when they have to publicly report it, it obviously tends to lend itself towards correction of that. Another thing that we have to do is we have to have more quantitative data about what our workplaces look like. I would love to see a report card. I'd love to see a checklist. I'd love to see organizations reporting what the number of sexual harassment lawsuits that they've had, how much they paid out. I live in Pasadena, right next to USC, and they've had a few issues over the last few years with transparency and data. And then I'd also like to see qualitative data. So this is what Equity Quotient was designed to do. This attempts to measure through data what the workplace feels like for women, for underrepresented minorities, for LGBTQ, for people that don't feel represented in the leadership. And speaking of leadership, as we know, this conference is devoted, has a strong theme of what good leadership can do to an organization, and that's a key part of this equity equation as well. So with that, these are my two boy-girl twins. There's my email address if you guys have any questions, and I apologize, I'm not gonna be here at the end because I have to catch a flight. Thank you.